We're glad to see you this morning in our Christmas service, and we're going to be speaking from the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. When we come back after the new year, we're going to begin our new Sunday morning series, which will be verse by verse through the Gospel of John. And so we'll be preaching this again in a different way, but this morning, Christmas wrapped in humanity. Christmas wrapped in humanity from John 1, 1 through 14. So by way of introduction this morning, what is Christmas? Is it gifts? Is it Santa Claus? Is it family and parties? So Christmas means a lot of things to a lot of people, but to Christians, Christmas is Christ. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. There's a lot of important things we do at Christmas, traditions, family, but Christmas ultimately is Christ. And we're going to discuss that. And so on your outline, you'll notice the first thing, Christmas beginning. And we're going to start with that in verses 1 through 5, Christmas beginning. So John 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning was the Word. Now the Word is Jesus Christ. That's what that's talking about there. And I'm going to read you what is the Word from the Life Application Study Bible, and this gives a really thorough explanation of this. What does John mean by the Word? The Word was a term used by theologians and philosophers, both Jews and Greeks, in many different ways. In Hebrew Scripture, the Word was an agent of creation, Psalm 33:6, the source of God's message to His people through the prophets, Hosea 4:1. And God's law, His standard of holiness, Psalm 119:11. In Greek philosophy, the Word was the principle of reason that governed the world, or the thought still in the mind, while in Hebrew thought, the Word was another expression for God. John's description shows clearly that he is speaking of Jesus. John 1:14, which we're going to get to, a human being John knew and loved. But at the same time, the creator of the universe, the ultimate revelation of God, the living picture of God's holiness, and the one who holds all creation together, Colossians 1:17. To Jewish readers, to say this man Jesus was God was blasphemous. To Greek readers, the Word became human, John 1:14, was unthinkable. But to John, this new understanding of the Word was the good news of Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, John, similar to Genesis, begins with the beginning. Genesis says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And in Genesis, in the beginning means in the beginning of creation. The beginning of the world, God created the heavens and the earth. But in John, in the beginning was the Word means in the beginning of time. Eternity has no beginning. God is eternal. So John means in the beginning of time. And so he picks a point and he says, this is the beginning. And he says, in the beginning, the Word, Jesus Christ, already was. And so Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He's always existed. And when time was created, Jesus Christ already was. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So nothing was made without Jesus Christ. So when you're reading Genesis, and God in Genesis is speaking everything into existence, Jesus Christ is making those things. He is the Word. He's speaking things into existence. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The word comprehended means to overcome. And so it means that darkness could not overcome the light. And evil ultimately does not overcome good. John 12:35 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And so darkness can overtake people. And so he says, walk in the light while you have the light. So the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, or did not overcome it. John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace in the world." "That in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So the darkness of this world attempted to overcome Jesus Christ, but it could not. But Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And he says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So as we are looking at all the darkness that's all around us, we're surrounded by darkness. There's political darkness. There's social darkness. There's financial darkness. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. The future may look dark and bleak because we don't know what's going to happen. But at the same time, Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And the Bible says in the book of 1 John, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's the devil's world system. And that's what's going on, you know, all around us. That's what we see. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. But Jesus has overcome those things. And so he tells us, be of good cheer. So we have a joyful hope this Christmas, in that we, no matter what's going on in the world, we can have the hope of Jesus Christ and we can be of good cheer. Now, the second thing we're going to see is that Christmas is announced. Christmas is announced in verses 6 through 9. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." So John is the man that comes to announce that Jesus is going to be born. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." So John was the man who came before. He was prophesied in the Old Testament. The Bible said that before the day of the Lord, that Elijah would come again, and John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, and he came to prepare the way for the Lord, to make the crooked way straight and the obscure places plain. And he came to prepare the way for the light. And it's important that the Bible says he was not, he wasn't that light, but Jesus Christ was that true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's kind of an interesting verse there. If you read John, and as we study the Gospel of John, he makes kind of a difference and kind of a play with that, because he says, for instance, he says, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." And he says that he is the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. But then when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the religious hypocrites, he says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And so he's kind of saying to them, "You can't come to me." And then he says here at the beginning, John says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Jesus is the true light which lights every man that comes into the world." And so that's kind of a paradox set up for us, a seeming contradiction. And what we have to understand is that God wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. But not everyone's going to be saved. And it's just that way. Not everyone's going to believe the gospel. Not everybody's going to come to Christ. The Pharisees refuse to open their hearts to Christ. They refuse to come. So Jesus says to them, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. He's given them a chance, but they're not willing to receive that light. So he says, you can't come to me except the Father draws you. So the gospel's limited only to those who believe it. But at the same time, God wants to save everyone. And that's why we send out missionaries. And that's why John came proclaiming the light and proclaimed it to everyone, because Jesus is the light which lighteth every man that comes into the world. And so we need to share the gospel with everyone, but we understand that not everyone's going to believe. In fact, sadly, the majority of people will not believe. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that enter thereat, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And we don't understand why that is, but it's unfortunate that the majority of people will hear the gospel and will not believe it. I was preaching in the jail in the youth detention center several weeks ago, and I said it would be like all of you were locked up in your cells. They don't actually have cells there. They have rooms, but it's like they're all locked up in their rooms. And then all the doors got open. And for some reason, the judge felt like he could set them all free. So he said, all of you can go free. And it would be like the majority of you just sat in your rooms and wouldn't go out, even though your doors were open, even though you could leave, even though you were free. You didn't believe the message, so you just sat there. You said, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not walking out. Now, they're free, but they won't leave because they don't believe it. And that's the way people are. Jesus died for our sins. He died for mankind. And he wants to save mankind, but the majority of people will sit there and not believe the message. The doors are open. They can walk out in freedom. They can be saved. They can walk out in freedom. But the majority of people will not believe it. So I hope those of you that are here this morning are in the minority. I hope you'll believe the message of Christ. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But he also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus is the way, and if you'll believe in him today, he'll save you. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now the third thing we're going to see, we've seen Christmas announced, now we're going to see Christmas response, verses 10 through 13. Now the response is that some will reject Christ, as we've just talked about. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So Jesus came to his own things. He came to the things he had created, and his own people received him not, the Jews. By and large, the Jews rejected him. And so he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So some will reject Christ, but then some will receive him. Some will receive him, verses 12 through 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So you want to become a child of God, you want to be saved, receive Christ. And the Bible tells us in that verse, verse 12, that receiving him and believing on him are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So how do you receive Christ? You receive him by believing in him. How do you believe in Christ? You believe in him by receiving him, by faith. And so he comes into your life and he saves you. And then the Bible says, which were born, because we're born again when we're saved, we're born from above, which were born not of blood. So it's not something that you can inherit. You cannot inherit salvation. Just because your father was saved or your grandfather was a preacher or or you have a family history of people being in church, you cannot inherit salvation by blood. You must personally receive Christ as your Savior, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. This is not something that you can in yourself, that you can do enough good works, or that you can do enough good things, that you can, of an act of your will, that you can make happen. This is something that God must do. And it has nothing to do with your works, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is not something that someone can do for you. And it's not something that you can do for yourself. Christ had to come and die for you on the cross. Christ had to seek you. In fact, the Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so salvation is not something that you do. It's not something that any man can do for you. It's not something that you are born with, but it's something that Christ did for you. And it's something that you receive by faith, and God even gives you the faith to believe. That's the wonderful thing. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So everything in salvation, even the faith to believe in Christ, is the gift of God. So He gives you the faith, and you give it back to Him, and you get saved. So now we'll look at Christmas defined in verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so the definition of Christmas is that the Word, the eternal Word who existed before time began, the eternal Word who has always existed, who is always with God, and who has always been God, the eternal Word, the Logos of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas, that Christ was robed in human flesh, that Christ became a man. And the Word, Christ, had to become man so that He could grow up and die for our sins. He had to become a man to die. And that's why Jesus came to this earth. Christmas is not just about a baby in a manger, but it is about God becoming man so that as man, He could live a perfect life on this earth. And at about 33 years of age, He could go to the cross and He could die for your sins and my sins. And He could be buried, and 3 days later He could rise from the dead, so that if we would by faith receive Him, believe in Him, He would come into our lives and save us and give us eternal life and the hope of heaven when we die and hope to live on this earth with our sins forgiven. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's what we celebrate this Christmas. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You for those that are here. I thank You for dying for our sins on the cross. And I thank You, Heavenly Father, for giving Your Son Jesus to be born and to die so that we could live. And we ask in Jesus' name that if anyone here doesn't know You as Savior, that You'll save them this morning. We pray if we have loved ones, relatives that aren't saved, that they will put their faith in You this Christmas season and be born again. Amen. All right, now Chase is going to come up and continue the service this morning.